Yeah, I'd be very interested in hearing, you know, first of all, in general, obviously what you guys hope to accomplish with this, but then second of all, in some more detail, how you've gone about surfacing APIs to the TiVo system.
Right. So let me start with the high level overview, and then we'll go into some more.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in hearing, you know, first of all, in general, obviously what you guys hope to accomplish with this, but then second of all, in some more detail, how you've gone about surfacing APIs to the TiVo system.
Right. So let me start with the high level overview, and then we'll go into some more detail.
Good.
And feel free to ask questions, because it depends a little bit on how much you've already seen. So, you know, I was one of the founders of Strangeberry, which got acquired by TiVo last year, and this technology HME, it's codenamed HME, was part of that acquisition. And at Strangeberry, we sort of thought about, you know, the digital video recorder, the DVR, as an open platform, and how to bring in third parties and third-party applications onto a consumer device without, like, ruining the quality and the of the user experience.
Yeah.
So that was sort of our vision, and that's why we built HME. And that's why TiVo acquired us, because TiVo had tried in the past to bring third-party applications on board, and it turned out to be very difficult, mostly because, you know, consumer devices have very long release cycles. You know, maybe there's maybe a software release once a year, and also the sort of real-time nature of the device and the complexity of the internals make it very difficult to integrate a third-party application into the software release.
Yeah. Right. So, can I just ask the home media engine? That's what HME stands for.
Yeah.
This was originally developed, obviously before you came to TiVo. So it was platform agnostic with respect to the media platform.
Yeah. It's basically sort of our idea was, you know, we were sort of brainstorming for like in 10 years' time, what's going to be the connector in the back of your TV, right?
Right.
You know, NTSC or S-Video or Compound or, you know, Ethernet or wireless or whatever. And we sort of said, well, hey, it's clearly going to be an IP connection, right? I mean, everything is going IP. So the question really is, like, so what's the protocol to talk to your television, right? And that's where this came from. It was sort of an idea of, you know, how do you have devices interact with your television?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that you could solve, for example, the remote control problem, because, you know, I have like 100 remote controls, it seems, on my couch, and nobody knows how to turn on the television, and that literally is sort of an interoperability problem, right? And
yeah.
And the funny thing is, even if you have, you know, all Sony equipment, you know, even departments within Sony can't get it right, you know,
mm-hmm.
still need multiple remote controls. So
yeah.
This was sort of a, you know, the idea to take, you know, one television with one remote, which controls many devices in your house. And that's sort of, and everybody has sort of their ideas of how that should be done, and this was sort of our attempt at resolving that.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does provide you with is a way for integrating many applications, lots of different functionality on one platform. And that's really what TiVo wants out of this.
Okay.
So in this early release, it's a developer preview release. What we're providing is a Java SDK which runs on your PC, where you can build applications, and these applications then, you know, display on your TiVo. They don't actually run on your TiVo; they only display on your TiVo. It's a little bit like the X11 protocol,
okay,
but it's much more targeted at television. So it's much more about compositing than drawing, and it's much more about, you know, transparency and animation and about, you know, streaming media and about media events and remote control events. It doesn't have a mouse or keyboard. It doesn't have all these sort of computer-specific things. It's very much targeted at very low-end consumer devices.
Okay, but there is some sort of a runtime which is deployed to the TiVo that...
We call that the renderer or the receiver, which renders the user interface for the application. And that sort of takes care of some of the animation and some of the interaction that's required. So the thing that happens is that, sort of just to dive in a little bit, is that the TiVo uses Rendezvous to discover applications on your local network.
Okay.
And it will list those applications in the menu on your TiVo, and then when you select them, the application gets the opportunity to display on the TiVo.
Okay.
So, to give a simple example, one of my favorite examples here is that, you know, I have an X10 home lighting system, mm-hmm. you know, where I can turn on the lights with a remote control.
Yes.
And so I've written a Java application that runs on a Linux server in my closet that the TiVo discovers, and when I go into that application, I can now control all the lights in my house, and I can turn on the fountain in the yard, in the backyard, and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you could alternatively control this application from a computer, but the idea here is that the TV makes a convenient interface.
Right, exactly. For certain applications. I mean, we're not of the opinion that we want to reinvent web TV. You know, that's clearly something that is being done by developers using HME, but, you know, we don't think that's a very smart thing to do.
Okay.
What we believe in is applications that extend TV functionality in a natural way that provides, you know, the same sort of consumption-oriented experience that TiVo provides, right? You're never going to do, you know, email from your TV. I mean, that's just silly. I mean, people are not going to sit on the couch to do email. They want to consume media.
Right.
So a lot of this is the kinds of applications that we think will work very well are you know, focused around that. So things like your personal music and photos, some simple games, you know, weather, stock, RSS feeds, you know, stuff that is consumption oriented.
Uh-huh.
The interesting thing though is that, and this is why we did this developer preview, it's sort of we've opened it up to the masses, right? We basically said, you know, go crazy, you know, invent whatever application you like. There's no rules or regulations. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
However, we want to stimulate that. We've even announced a contest, which will be judged by James Gosling and a lot of other prominent judges.
Yeah, I saw the link to that.
And that's sort of intended to sort of get out the creativity. You know, we want people to think about what is possible on TiVo and what works and what doesn't, and we can get an idea of what kinds of applications we build. We are obviously at the same time working with partners on developing much more branded type applications that will be, you know, developed, you know, in cooperation with TiVo, that are being developed in cooperation with TiVo, and that will be available on all TiVos, you know, sometime later this year, probably. But then, in that case, the application is not going to run on your PC. It's going to run somewhere in the network on a TiVo server.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's much easier. As long as you have an internet-connected Series 2 standalone TiVo, you'll be able to get at that functionality. And there's sort of obvious kinds of applications in that space too, right? I mean, there's shopping applications, there's sort of movie ticket buying, there's like things that sort of make sense with your home entertainment world that we're targeting in that space.
Okay. So what's the scoop in terms of, I'm looking at your gallery and I see the examples that are there, most of which reflect the kind of thing that you've been talking about, which is, you know, reaching out from the TiVo as a display device, really, to external sources of content, right, and providing those content sources in a TiVo UI, if you will, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of convenience, and that makes, you know, a lot of sense, and I can definitely see, you know, that these are examples of a certain kind of thing that will be, you know, really useful and interesting. You know, what I'm wondering about is how the TiVo as its own content source is enabled or extended by this SDK, right? Both in terms of the content that I've already recorded, you know, but also in terms of my own media content.
Well, so let me take a little step back for a second and talk a little bit about the the Tahiti effort that was announced at CES.
Okay.
So, you know, Mike Ramsey's talked about this in the past as well, and it's called it sort of the Beyond DVR initiative, right?
Uh-huh.
TiVo has to go beyond providing, you know, just digital video recorder functionality.
Right.
And there's so at CES we announced the Tahiti strategy, which is, you know, sort of an umbrella framework for a number of features, and we'll just go over a few of those. One is TiVo to go, which
yep.
is your ability to take videos off your TiVo and put them on your PC.
Mm-hmm.
So we've launched that already, and that's available.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of that strategy is HME, which is this sort of the ability to integrate third-party functionality into the TiVo experience. The third part that we've talked about in the past, which will become important in the future, which is internet-delivered content, which allows you to get, you know, videos from sources other than broadcast television,
mm-hmm.
to be able to download them. And then there's the bigger Tahiti strategy of tying this all together. Now, you know, what we've released today is a developer preview, and you don't get access to all of the functionality of your TiVo. For example, you're not able to schedule a recording.
Okay.
And I think that over time that will change. The reason why we didn't put that in the first release is not because it's hard. It's mostly just because, you know, there's some privacy issues, and there are some issues about what functionality to expose first. We decided that what we wanted to do with the SDK is to get it out early and give people an opportunity to provide us with feedback so that we can focus on those features that people really want.
Okay.
And some of the things that are obviously missing that we'll call out is the lack of video support. You know, you can't really play video in HME today.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously that's a sweet spot for TiVo, so, you know, that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. And the reason why we did that is that, you know, we have some plans for how to do that sort of integrate TiVo to go and TiVo to come back and also the internet-delivered content in HME applications.
And there's also, isn't there another important source, namely user-generated video content, right?
Yeah, and then so you know, that is affectionately known here as TiVo to come back, right? It's your ability to take content off your PC and put it back on your TiVo.
Uh-huh.
And you know, obviously, it's obvious to see how HME can play a big role in, you know, managing your videos on your PC and streaming them or downloading them to your TiVo and playing them there whenever you want.
Yes.
Provide a very compelling, you know, experience in that sense. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, is that when we talk about video, we often talk about, you know, TV quality video, or we almost always talk about TV quality video. So
mm-hmm.
the files that we're talking about are fairly large.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, home networks today aren't really capable of streaming those in all situations.
Right.
In most situations, it's possible, but not in all. So, you know, that was actually sort of one of the core reasons we didn't integrate video support right now, because we didn't think that the quality of the experience would be good enough. However, in upcoming releases, you will definitely see support for that kind of functionality.
So the assumption there is that you're going to be sourcing the video from a computer, right, and streaming it, like you said, to the TiVo for display.
That's one way.
But the other way, obviously, is that you can simply put stuff, you know, you can put your own stuff on the TiVo along with what it was able to record, right?
Right, so there's two approaches, right? I mean, the streaming, which is basically, you know, downloading and playing at the same time, and
yep.
there's just downloading and playing later. And,
yep.
and downloading and playing later is important for internet-delivered content, because there you clearly don't have the bandwidth to get a TV quality show downloaded over your internet connection.
Right.
What we'd like to have is the ability to say things like, well, you know, find me a show, Gilligan's Island or whatever, and you say, oh, I like that one, and when you record it, hey, whether it gets recorded over the air or over the internet, who cares? it just shows up for your consumption.
Right. Right?
And that sort of fits very well with the TiVo model, and that's sort of part of the Tahiti strategy of sort of integrating your network of personal media and personal preferences into the TiVo experience.
So let me ask you this question then. Something that I've gotten extremely interested in recently is the ability to link to and quote from rich media in a context like blogging, for example. So in the same way that the blogosphere has gotten a huge amount of mileage out of the ability to refer to content, which is, let's say, in the New York Times or other published sources, right? In other words, link to the article, you know, and then link into the article, you know, either to point to a section or to quote a section, right? That combination of capabilities has allowed, you know, a lot of people to begin to sort of deconstruct and analyze and, you know, reformulate their print media experiences, right? And I've been extremely interested in the analogous capabilities in the world of rich media. So I've been doing a lot of work recently with, for example, when audio or video content is available on the web through Reel, and so you can not only link, you know, to the you know, 1 hour C-SPAN discussion of some policy issue, right? But you can actually also perform a link which points to, you know, the particular 14 seconds at minute 23 that you want to refer to, right? That you want to discuss and draw other people's attention to.
Right.
So I've been really curious about whether this platform is going to enable that kind of thing. Now, obviously, you know, in the case of recorded content, right, the limiting factor would be that you could only share a reference, you know, to something which, you know, someone else had also recorded, right? But I'm just wondering, could I do that application? Like, if I had recorded a C-SPAN show and you had recorded the same C-SPAN show, you know, is it conceivable that I could write an application on the web, you know, that would enable me to share a reference to that content with you, and the reference would resolve to each of our local TiVo repositories?
Well, so, you know, I really can't get into a lot of details without, you know, talking about future products, which I don't want to do. But I do want to mention a couple of things to you which are sort of relevant to this.
And, okay.
One thing that TiVo has had for a while now is online scheduling, which allows you to create a link to an upcoming show.
Yes.
When people click on it, they can just schedule that on their TiVo.
Yes.
So that's a capability that's obviously going to be easy to integrate with applications and allow you to link to future programming. Now, link to past programming, the thing that sort of springs to mind, which was announced a couple of weeks ago, is the Google Video Search, right?
Uh-huh.
You can quote individual events using that, you know, or individual frames in a show. You know, you could think of very interesting applications surrounding that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I want to mention is our tagging technology. We have the ability to tag video so that you know, there's preview tags that get shown when you play the video. So there's a little icon that shows up on your screen, and you can say, oh yeah, I want to record this show, and it records it. Or you want to say, well, I want to link off to another video, and another video plays.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, there's a lot of possibility there that we can leverage. And
so you're suggesting that the metadata which attaches to recorded videos can come under more user control, and can come under user control in such a way that it can be potentially exported out to the network, can be federated and aggregated.
I mean, again, you know, I'm I'll go too far to talk about that in detail. Because
yeah, I'm not asking you to say what you're going to do or what your product plans are. I'm more just exploring what, you know, I could do on the foundation that you've given, right? I mean, and what other people can do. That's all I'm asking is what are the, you know, what is the space of possibility here that's been opened up, right, in terms of...
So the thing, the space has opened up a lot. I mean, there was very little you could do on a TiVo legally up to last week.
Uh-huh.
But with HME, you can do a lot of what you're talking about, except that you can't really do video playback in this release.
No, I get that, and I wasn't expecting that. But in terms of applications that both expose and also enhance the metadata that surrounds the recorded video, you're saying that's in scope for this release?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay.
I mean, there's companies that are building applications that deal with personal media and video sharing and photo sharing that have, you know, that are working on HME user interfaces that allow you to walk up to any TiVo, log in as yourself, and show your slideshow of your pictures, for example, right?
Right.
So there's clearly things happening. There's also, you know, a lot of interesting possibilities for integration with blogging and video blogging and audio blogging and all that kind of stuff. And all of that is possible to some extent, and it will become much more exciting over time as we add functionality and go forward. But this is an early release that is just there to get people's appetites going.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, and it's very exciting. Like I said, I mean, I got a little taste of it just seeing Ward Cunningham's kid, you know, over the iChat last Friday. You know, he was basically figuring out how to do something like attach sounds to buttons. So I imagine he was just working with one of the canned demonstrations in the kit, you know. But yeah, it's going to be real interesting, you know, to see, like you said, what starts to come out even at this phase in terms of integration with blogging and things like that. I mean, I just, you know, I actually can't wait to see what's going to happen. So it's very cool.